Direct line insurance, white flag insurance, and L plates forever. Amen. I sound like I'm in an incredibly large hall at the moment, so amen. Before we start, let us pray. Mighty God, Lord, we come before you just very humble, because we just want to fix our eyes on Jesus at this time. God, thank you so much, Lord, just for your word, just as it explains about your Son and explains about our Savior and the person who we rely on and who we need. God, we come before you, God, and I pray, Lord, that you can really help the word come to life right now, God, as it explains about our Savior. Thank you, God, Lord, for this time. God, please bless today. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5. It's been really, really good just being carrying on the theme of Hebrews. And where we're up to right now, carrying on from Hebrews 4, was talking about Jesus as a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weakness. And we carry on in chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters relating to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He's able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. That is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." You know, my first point, direct line insurance. We all know about direct line insurance. What's direct line insurance big claim? Big USP, big, what's their big advertisement? That they go, son. They don't waste time. That they go. There's no agencies. There's no middleman. They go direct to the insurer. And that means they can be quicker, cheaper, they give you a better service. You know, we all like to be able to go direct to the person involved. You know, you're on the helpline and you're talking to someone about a complaint. Maybe your phone bill was too high. And you speak to someone and you're talking to them and you're not getting the love that you really want. So what's the standard line? "I want to speak to your manager. I want to speak to someone who has real authority. Someone who can really solve my problems. Not just someone who's going to pick up the phone." You know, we want to go direct. You know, we read here about the need for a high priest. You know, we need a high priest. Because if we go too direct and we see God himself, we're not going to be able to handle that. It will blow us away. I'm always reminded by a film I saw when I was young. And I have been criticized for talking about too much about films, but here you go. But one of my favorite films for many years was Raiders of the Lost Ark. I remember as a kid watching Raiders of the Lost Ark, and there's the closing scene, and this was the days when special effects were coming into their own. There was a scene when the Ark of the Covenant was opened. And the Ark of the Covenant is supposed to be the very presence of God. And as the Ark of the Covenant was opened and all the angels were flying everywhere around and everyone said it was beautiful, and suddenly it wasn't so beautiful. And the people who saw it were cursed. You know, we don't want to see God directly. It would blow us away. We need a mediator. We need a high priest. And if you look at the scriptures here, it says every high priest was selected, and it talks about that they offered gifts to God as sacrifices, and that they would go once a year. And it talks about how their interaction with the people, you know, they're able to deal gently with the people because they're struggling with the same things. You know, if you look at the Greek, what it actually means is not actually get angry with the people. You know, because they're dealing with the same challenges. And yet, you know, because they themselves are flawed, they have to offer sacrifices for themselves. Now, these are the high priests that we need. And, you know, we needed someone to represent us, someone to lead us spiritually. You know, we're crying out in this world for people to lead us. You know, even this week on Thursday, there's going to be a big vote. You know, people are called to go and vote for, I think it's the local council elections. This week has been an interesting week in politics. Liam Fox, our defense secretary, has been in the papers. Here is a man who's leading our country. In fact, he's an ambassador, one of the main ambassadors, defense secretary around the world. And yet, it's been very clear that he's made some very flawed errors of judgment. And I don't know about you, but you read about politicians and think, my goodness me, when can we get a leader, a politician, who's not going to be corruptible? You know when that is? Never. Because they're all human. I don't care how impressive they are. I don't care if they're inspirational, if they've written books, if they connect with you. They are all corruptible. Because they're human. Even the high priests, all corruptible. You know, we talked about Aaron a few weeks ago. You know, incredible man, he had an incredible journey, mouthpiece of God before Pharaoh. He blew it. The first high priest, we already read, he sacrificed, he created the golden calf. He was critical with Miriam. His sons died because of lack of respect for God. He had a flawed life, even him. You know, there's no one who could really be a genuine high priest except for Jesus. And what we look at today is that we have the ability to go direct. Not through someone who's flawed, not having someone who has to sacrifice for his own sins, but can be purely focused on your needs, representing you, without having another motive, without having a friend on the side who we can help get rich together. Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus was pure. You know, if you're employed, you go through what is known every year, potentially, depending on how your company works, you go through an appraisal, an evaluation, where a manager will sit down and they'll think, how good was this guy? And what he'll do, he'll sit down and he'll consider you in relation to your peers and he will make a decision about how good you are. You know, you want a manager who believes in you. You want a manager who's respected by the organization. You know, the higher your manager is, the better it is for you. Now, you want a manager who's going to argue your case in front of people. I've been involved in this to some extent recently. And it's amazing the influence that a manager has on arguing someone's case. You know, I got an email saying, you know, can you tell me about this person and describe and whether he's good? And you argue the case. And whether people listen to you or not is directly proportional to how respected you are in your organization. If you're well respected, your words carry more weight than if you're just someone who people don't trust. You know, we have a manager. We have a high priest who's very well respected in the organization. Fact, his dad runs the show. Isn't it good to have a high priest like that fighting for you? For your rights. You know, you make mistakes, you blow it, you sin. How much more to have a high priest? You know, I believe in Louise. She is a good woman. Yes, she blows it from time to time. Yes, she has a husband who's less than perfect. But she is a good woman. I believe in her. I think she should do well. I think she should do well in this organization. Come on, I mean, she's a good woman. I know it's hard because I've been there. I've faced the challenges that she has. And I believe in her. You know, the best managers are the ones who know what it takes to go to do the job. They've been there. They can relate to your challenges. And yet, they know how to do it the right way. We have a high priest who's gone through everything that we've gone through. Has an unblemished record. And believes in us, is uncorruptible, and is fighting for us. What an incredible, incredible blessing that we have. You know, we talk about blessings. This is an incredible blessing. To have a high priest who allows us to go direct to God, arguing your case. Direct line insurance. We are incredibly blessed. Second point, white flag insurance. Yes, I could have said green flag insurance, but really I want to talk about white flag insurance. You know, we have a God, even though he is God, the way he holds himself is incredibly different to how we might imagine. Let's just read on. Again, Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. This next line may be different to what you have in your Bible, but this is interesting as well. Son though he was, rather than although he was a son, son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. You know, reading about Jesus, you may have seen the film again, Bruce Almighty. And the impression that the world has about if someone becomes God, they can do anything. I'll do things to meet my needs. I'll flick my fingers and stuff will happen around me. You know, maybe like a Superman kind of character. I'll be invulnerable. I can do whatever I like, when I like, because I'm God. You know, God was not like that. You don't read about a God who does things to meet his own needs. You know, you go to Matthew chapter 4, the temptations. You read a God who could have turned the stones into bread and chose not to. He could have jumped and the angels picked him up. You read later on in the Garden of Gethsemane, when at the arrest, he could have called down 12 legions of angels to annihilate. If we talked about what one angel could do, at 12, he could have flattened the planet as we know it. Legions at that, flattened the planet. We have a God who had the ability not to have the life that he had, but chose the white flag. Chose to surrender. I'm going to live a surrendered life. What an incredible God. This just blows our mind. You know, we have a politician who's truly submissive to the needs of his nation, the needs of his kingdom. No one else is like that. Everyone is in it for himself. Jesus chose to surrender. You know, we look at what he did. It says, during the days of his life on earth, he offered prayers and petitions. You know, what this is talking about, arguably, Jesus prayed many times on mountaintops. And also, the Garden of Gethsemane is one of the most memorable prayers that Christ did. Now, again, the temptation to give up. The temptation to say, I want an easy life. Do I need to go through that? I know this is your will, God, but do I need to go through this? And Jesus wrestled with it and came up, this is what I'm going to do. And I find this very, very challenging. We are so soft on ourselves. Man, I've got a slight headache today. Oh, I think I should just stay under the duvet just a little bit longer. You know, I'm tired. I don't really feel like going the extra mile. I don't feel like ringing this person up because I'm too busy. Man, sharing my faith. Oh, I haven't got quite the right moment. We are so soft on ourselves. Oh, there's something on TV. It's too difficult for me to change channel quick enough. We are so soft on ourselves. I've had a hard day. I deserve a bit of lust. What area of our life are we soft? Now, we get temptations day after day after day, just as Jesus did. It has been said, you know, Jesus was tempted more than any one of us because he resisted all the time. We give in after a certain amount. Jesus didn't allow himself to give in, so he went, the temptation got even more and more and more, and he still didn't give in. We give in when it's really a mild temptation. And he did it by prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And it was crystal clear in his mind what he needed to do. Conviction. Nothing is going to stop me from being righteous. Nothing is going to stop me from not being obedient. And it's very interesting, you know, it says, he was the son. Son though he was, he learned obedience for what he suffered. You know, I love this passage. I've shared it many times. In Romans chapter 5, we all know it. In verse 3. We're here because we want to grow, we want to change. And we're going to talk about learning in a minute, in our last point. But suffering and perseverance, let's just read the verse. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Now, we develop character by persevering. It talks about in Hebrews 5 that Jesus was made perfect through what he suffered. Now, we can't be refined and changed unless we go through pain. You know, how many times you wrestle at it and you come back to the same thing? God wants us to persevere in order for us to be who we need to be. You know, you may be doing well at school. You know, what you find is sometimes the person at the top of the class, the person who can never get anything wrong, you know, he doesn't even have to revise, and he gets A+, A star. That actually isn't good for you. It actually isn't. Just being the best without any effort isn't actually good for you. You need pain. You need to go through hardships in order for you to develop character. The hare and the tortoise. The hare was arrogant. The tortoise persevered and won the race. You know, we need to be not shy away. If things are not easy for you the first time, amen. My marriage isn't easy. Amen. That's what it's about. It's about getting your character. Raising my kids isn't easy. Amen. It's not meant to be. It's about developing character. My life isn't easy. Well, no one said it was going to be. Jesus, it wasn't easy for him. You know, Jesus chose submission. This is what blows me away. Now, we read this even from Hebrews 11, which I'm stealing. You know, Moses was very similar. Moses had all the riches of Egypt, but he chose the hard life. You know, Jesus went through the same way. He surrendered. What about us? Are there areas of our life that we've not surrendered? You know, I will persevere through this area, but this area, nah, I'm not going to surrender this. I'm not going to give this up because this is too close to me. This is who I am. We've got to surrender every area of our life because then we can really change. I'll serve so much, but there, yeah, I think you're pushing it too far. No, we've got to be surrendered people. We are unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. You know, we talk about contribution. We talk about giving. We talk about giving our time. I know, I find this challenging. I think, man, I've been stretched so much. Amen. God is calling us so that we can be made perfect the way Jesus was made perfect. We got to be people who surrender. And again, you look back at the scripture. Because he went through the pain, he was made perfect. He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Again, this is the kind of leader that we have. I mean, we're focusing our minds on who Jesus is. He relates to everything. He's not asking us to do anything he hasn't done himself. He's not calling us to a standard higher than his own. And we serve a God who's prepared to go all the way and be pure. We are incredibly humbled to be around a God like that. And that's what he's calling us to really learn. And then we move on to L plates forever. No one likes L plates. You know, you drive around, you got L plates on your car. And what it says? It says learner. And even if you got the same driver in the car, the difference between having the L plates on the car and not having L plates on the car means that you get treated completely different. If I happen to drive the car with the L plates on, man, people think you are, ugh, you're to be mistrusted and mistreated, and they blow your horn for no reason. Get out the road. We don't want to come across like we're learning. We want to come across like we're together. That we have all the answers. Amen? You know, God wants us to have L plates forever. You know, wherever you are in life, you've got to be learning. None of us have arrived yet. And you know what? Life would be boring if you didn't have anything to learn. That's the absolute truth. And I was, in a wheel, let's just read the scripture. Verse 11, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You can just see the author, you know, he's building up and he's talking about some deep things about Christ. He's talking about how Christ went to whatever lengths to be who he needed to be. And he's almost like, this is going to go over their heads. I could say so much more. I could talk about how you could become perfect. But the concept of perfection is so far from these people, they're just not going to get this. You want to say more, but there's a frustration in the author. And the comment he makes here is that because you no longer try to understand. That is challenging. Why are they not trying to understand anymore? You know, a lot of it can be one of perception. You know, I remember as a kid being so excited that I'd left school. Being so excited that I'd left university. I'm thinking, praise the Lord, no more homework ever again. This is like, I'm free. I've been able to sit down and having to work. I can just go to work and leave and it's all over. It is becoming revealed to me that was actually not true. That the days of homework are upon me. As I sit down with my son, and it's like school all over again. And you sit down and you think, man, I've got to learn how to teach. You know, we've always got to be learning. And it's hard work. And sometimes I do feel like I need to be a high priest. I've got to be someone who can be gentle and be patient. You know, when you're trying to explain something that you fully understand, why can't you get this? When your son's looking at you. And I'm just like, okay, you can't explain everything in just an hour. It takes time. It takes a lifetime. It takes day after day after day. And eventually some of it gets in. Amen. But this is like us. We've got to persevere. We have God who is sitting with us, doing our homework with us. And sometimes we're just not getting it. Sometimes we're more interested in what's on the TV. And God's trying to sit us down to explain to us some basic concepts of life that will help us in life. Stuff that we knew years ago. Stuff that people taught us years ago. And we're dull. We're wriggling in the chair. We don't want to hear what God wants us to say. We are slow. We're refusing to learn. And our reasons why, it's interesting, why we don't want to learn. It's sometimes what we've been taught is too challenging. And I look at Acts chapter 24, verse 24. You know, we read about someone who, in theory, was learning from the Master, from the Apostle Paul, one of the great writers of the New Testament. Now, he was there because he, in theory, looked like he wanted to become a Christian. In Acts chapter 24, you know, it says several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send it for you." At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe, so he sent for him frequently and talked with him. When 2 years had passed, Felix succeeded by Porcius Festus, but Felix wanted to grant a favor to Jews. He left Paul in prison. 2 years! This guy's getting with Paul, studying the Bible, doing God the gospel, going through word, discipleship, the cross, Jesus. But he wasn't willing to learn because he was afraid. Man, this is too challenging. Paul started talking about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. You know, why do we refuse to learn? Because it's calling us to make some changes that we don't want to make. Because perhaps the implications of what we're learning are too great for us to comprehend. I remember when I was sitting down studying the Bible, and I was quite happy being religious. And you start studying the Bible and you realize, good night, the world I thought I knew isn't what it is. Not everyone who calls himself a Christian is a Christian. How can this be? A lot of people who I think are good people are not right with God. Man, the implications is I've got to make some changes, but I've got to tell those people to make some changes. And it's an all or nothing, black and white. And we can get a bit blurry and emotional about this. Well, you know, we're all sinners. We are all sinners. But it's all about who has a direct line to God or not. And we've got to get crystal clear on what God is calling us to. You know, there's some things that we've got to obey in the Bible to be saved. These are convictions that if you had, you got to keep them. If you haven't got them, you got to get them. Because the Bible is clear. You have a plan of salvation or what you need to do to be saved. Make sure the Bible has the same plan of salvation. Otherwise, you might get disappointed.
But sometimes we don't want to hear this because it's too hard for us to take in. You know, issues about what is sin. Do you want to hear it? Or are you refusing to listen because the implications on the things that you enjoy is too much? We've got to be people who are quick to learn. Now, sometimes you don't want to put the L plates back on the car because you've told everyone you're a great driver. So if you start putting your L plates on and start telling people I'm learning again, you will look a fool. Amen to that. We're not worried about looking like a fool. We're learning about learning. You've always got to have your L plates on. Because God's Word teaches what we need to do. You know, in life, whatever age you are, we've always got to be learning. I'm so proud of my mum, 80 years old, still learning about computers. Still learning to diagnose how the internet works. It's good that however old we get, to still be fighting, to still be changing. You know, we look at the scriptures. There's a time for us to move from the milk and go on to solid food. You know, so we need milk. Babies need milk. They need milk because it's easy to digest. It's what they can handle. I would be very concerned if Grace at the back was given steak to eat. It would be concerning. I would probably have a word with Morris. She's got to have what she's got to have. At the same time, I'd be very concerned if an adult in this room was still breastfeeding. I would be equally concerned. You need the appropriate nutrients for your age. What about you? Are you still wrestling with breast milk? Or are you able to eat steak? I love steak. And forgive me if you're a vegetarian in this room. But I spend time with Tokes. And Tokes often talks to me about the places which he, in his mind, are like one of the best places in the world to visit. Places like the carnival, where you can, it's this place where there's this big pit in the ground in South Africa, and you can have whatever food you can eat, anything, crocodile, zebra, the whole, I've had zebra, it's quite nice, tastes just like horse, you know, whatever you need to eat. We want to have that kind of solid food. And I think in this place, it is as much as you can eat. Which, as a student, was just as much as you can eat. Oh, heaven. Later on in life, I'm realizing that, you know, I can only eat so much. But God is calling us to have meat. To have stuff which is enriching. And I hope that as we've talked today, and we're going through the Hebrews class, that this is beyond milk. I hope today that this is a bit meaty for you. You know, the incredible thing about Jesus learnt. Jesus went all the way and became perfect because he was willing to learn. He was willing to go to that place. And he was willing to do it for us. And we've talked about three things today. We've talked about direct line insurance. We've talked about white flag insurance. And we've talked about having L plates forever. Let's take to heart what we talked about in Hebrews chapter 5. Amen.